If you have your Bible this morning, be finding the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 18. Now, go along with what my preacher said, just say amen me, even if you don't like it or if you do like it, just say amen. I said last time I was here that, you know, been in some places sometimes that the devil would have shouted amen, I'd have took that, so... Heard Brother Dean one time say, y'all do good and I'll try to do good and we'll just call it good, you know, so one or the other, just we'll get going here. We'll look at this very familiar story to us, and if you've been in church any time in your life or after you've been saved, you've probably heard a preacher preach out of this text, and sometimes you know, the teacher don't have it all down and the preacher don't have it all down. And I tell you what, I'll be honest with you, you come up, you know, you think you always got something to teach or something to preach or whatever, but until God lays it on your heart, then you ain't got nothing. Amen. And sometimes God gives you something in advance and sometimes He doesn't, you know, and He didn't give me this until yesterday. And I was sitting around praying by faith that God would give me something, because I want, every time I stand up to teach, I want to be able to give you guys something. Because if not, we're just standing up here wasting time. And God laid this on my heart. And it's found in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 18. And I entitled it, From a Famine to a Flood. From a Famine to a Flood. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 in 1 Kings, chapter number 18. It said, And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I'll send rain upon the earth. We need that rain today, not only in the church house, we need it physically. I want to show you something Elijah did. If you'll read on in this chapter, you'll understand that Elijah had control of the rain. A man had control of the rain. God gave this man control of it. The Bible said here that, you know, he says in 1 Kings chapter number 1, verse number 17, chapter 17, verse number 1, Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain upon the earth. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to get on through it. I'm going to get down to verse number 2 right here. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And I began thinking about this, and I read through this chapter and flipped back and forth through it. And I'm going to use this whole chapter today. You don't have to worry. We ain't got but so long. But anyway, God gave me this. He said, from a famine to a flood. See, this thing started with a famine. You see, there's famine all across America today, and not only in America, across this world. And not only a famine, as we think of physically, you know, a famine brings starvation. A famine brings malnutrition. A famine brings all kind of things. It brings sickness into the land. It brings all kind of things into the land physically. But I'm going to tell you what we struggle with today is a famine in the church house. And the Bible said there'd be a famine, and you know what it'd be? It'd be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. I'm telling you, we have a pastor. I'm talking about a pastor. I mean, a lot of people has a preacher or somebody that stands up and gives a message. I'm going to tell you what we have here. We have a pastor. And if you need something from our pastor, you got a man of God that you can go to, like Elijah here. My first thing is, you'll see that there was a famine that was commanded. And you'll see not only it was a famine that was commanded there in verse number 1, he said, verse number 2, he said, there was a sore famine in Samaria. There was a famine in the land. And I'm going to tell you what, it was a famine, but I'm going to tell you it was heavenly orchestrated. Heavenly ordered. Elijah put his order in for that famine. You see, Elijah was a man that he could pray and he could get through to heaven. Thank God that we can get through to heaven. The Bible said over in James chapter 5, verse 17, it said Elijah was a like man such as we are. It said, you know, in James chapter number 5, it was that great book of prayer where it says, confess your faults one to another, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And this is what it said about old Elias over there. You see, the Bible has its own illustrations. See, I can come up with illustrations, but the Bible always proves itself. And here, James was going to give us an illustration that Elias did. And this is what it said about old Elias here in this chapter. It said, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. I want you to know Elias was a man. Elias was a man. Elijah was a man. A lot of times you look at the preacher and look at the teacher or look at the leadership and you say, well, they don't ever struggle like we do. They don't have it as bad as we do. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that man right there struggles worse than anybody in this church. I'm going to tell you, it's nothing when you get down from up here to teach or to preach that the devil don't jump up on your shoulder and say, you did it all wrong. You left that out. You did this wrong. And I'm going to tell you, Elias was a man. He was a man that could pray. It says here, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. I wonder what we'd do today if we went around and it hadn't rained upon the earth for 3 years and 6 months. That's a long time, isn't it? We got a little sprinkle this morning. What if we hadn't seen a drop of rain for 3 years and 6 months? It was a famine that was commanded. See, Elijah, God gave him control of it. God took this man, and he was going to prove to him, to the people, that the man could pray and get in touch with God, and God would listen to his prayers from a famine to a flood. Not only that, you'll see that even though it was heavenly orchestrated and there was a famine in the land, I want you to know that heaven was still open. You think about that. You remember over in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17, you'll find that Elijah, he was a man that went through the famine as well. The very man who had prayed for the famine had to suffer through the famine himself. And you may be in a church house today and you may be going through a famine. Don't think it's strange, because there's going to be famines in the land. There's going to be famines in the church house. Elijah prayed for it not to rain, and God gave him his prayer, and he gave it to him earnestly because he prayed for it, and he knew with all his heart that God would do it. But there's always a purpose for famine. You'll see that heaven was open. In 1 Kings chapter number 17, you'll see that, you remember old Elias? He was fed by? He's fed by the ravens. The Bible said that even in the morning that they were down by the brook Cherith, that the old ravens would come down, they drop him bread and water. Yeah. See, God, even though the world is maybe shut up, don't you dare think the heaven ain't open. Because heaven's open this morning. If you want to get through, it's there. We always have access. So don't think that just because this world is shut down and it hadn't rained in a little bit, don't think the heaven still ain't open. There's probably some man of God that's prayed this on America this morning, that he sat down, he's earnestly in his prayers touched the heart of God, and he's sending us through a famine, physically and spiritually. Elias prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. Heaven was open. Not only did you see that he was fed by the brook Cherith with the ravens, remember the next place he went was to most theologians, or most people that know more about the Bible than I do, said that he was fed by that brook Cherith for about a year. And then for about the next 2 years, you remember who he was fed by? He's fed by the little widow woman there in Zarephath. And you know what she had? The Bible said she had a handful of meal and a cruse of oil. But every time she went back into that old barrel and she reached back and she got some more, and she said, I don't know where it's coming from. But guess what? Even though there's a famine in the land, God can take a handful, because little is much when God is in it. And every time that little old widow woman would reach back, she'd pull a little bit of meal out of that barrel, God would bless it. And the old little widow woman didn't know that she was feeding the man of God. And the very man of God that had prayed that God would shut heaven up, that it wouldn't rain and put her in a famine. But let me tell you something, he was taking care of her. So don't you think because this world is shut up, the heaven is not open. The next place you'll see is there in 1 Kings chapter number 18, you'll see a man named Obadiah. You know what he was doing? He was taking those 100 prophets. And you know what he was doing? He was taking care of them. So don't think just because heaven is... it hadn't rained and there's a famine in the land that God hadn't got somebody set aside to take care of us. There's been times on my job that I thought, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if there's more month than there is money. But I tell you what, every time I reached back, God was still there and he'd give me a little bit more. And I tell you what, even though I didn't have enough money to make it through the month, God was still there to get me through the month. And he uses each one of you to be a blessing to others. Don't think just because heaven shuts down that the world shuts down, heaven is not open, because there was a famine that was commanded. Secondly, you'll see there was a faith that was challenged. There was a faith that was challenged. You see, Elijah, he said, you go tell, he used old Obadiah, and Obadiah went and told Ahab and said, Elijah's here. And Ahab was a wicked king. The Bible said there hadn't been anybody that ruled before like Ahab. And not only did he was wicked, but his wife was wicked too. And that's where you find the lady named Jezebel. And And not only was he was troubled, but with his wife, he was called double trouble because they was wicked and they was vile, you know. And God, the people wanted to rule, the people that Ahab and Jezebel ruled over wanted the people to worship them more than they did God. That's why Elijah said over here in 1 Kings 18 and 21, it says, "And Elijah come unto all the people and said, How long you halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." You see, even these children of Israel, the set aside people of God, had started worshiping Baal because it pleased Ahab and Jezebel. Let me tell you something. Don't bow down to this world's standards. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, this government may come in here and try to shut you down. But I tell you what old Elijah said. He said, "I'll just stick with God." He said, "I'm not going to halt between two opinions." He said, "God's brought me here." He said, "I prayed for this famine." He said, "It's been nearly 3 years now. 3 years and 6 months is what the book of James said. It's been over 3 years since we've seen any rain, and I prayed for this, and God gave it to me." So he also taught me that whatever you pray for, be happy when God sends it. A lot of times I prayed and I got my prayer and I wasn't as happy as I thought I'd be when God granted my prayer. So whatever you pray for, you might all be happy for what God's given you. Oh, Elijah prayed this. And I tell you, any time that you see yourself in your faith is, seems weakened, I'm going to tell you why it is. Because your faith is always going to be challenged. I'm going to tell you, there's going to become a time in this church that our faith is going to be challenged. It's going to be challenged. I can give you story after story in my own life where my faith was challenged. You see, some of that stuff that God told you, and you said, "I'm going to stand on," and you boasted yourself, said, "I'm going to stand on this no matter what." You know what God's going to do? He's going to make sure that it happens to you, that you make sure that He can test you. I remember this, me and my wife did weddings, you know, and we always said this. We said, "We'll never do a wedding where they serve alcohol. We'll never do a wedding where they serve alcohol." And we got, and it wasn't long after that, God put us in a situation to see if we'd actually do that. And I tell you what we did. We packed our stuff up and we left by the grace of God. Because don't think that God, you're not going to be tested. Your faith's going to be challenged. See, old Elias, his faith was challenged in this because he had set up himself. And old Elias, he did. He boasted himself in this. I'm going to tell you, he boasted himself. I'm going to tell you what your faith will do. It'll prove two things. It not only prove the people that it'll prove to the people that God is God. When your faith is challenged, it's going to prove to the people that are around you that God is God. You want to know an illustration of this? How many of you ever heard of the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, formerly known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You see, those names that I just gave you was their real names. But I tell you who named them. The prince of the eunuchs of old Nebuchadnezzar named these boys, old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to prove to the people around you when your faith is challenged that God is God. You see, when God put those boys in the fire, the old Nebuchadnezzar, you know what he did? He rose up and he said, "Lo, I see four men loose." We didn't put but three in there, but now I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. And the fourth is like the Son of God. I tell you what it did. It proved to that king and it proved to all those people that God was God. God is going to put you in a place where He's going to challenge your faith so the people around you can know that God is God. Not only does it prove that to the people that God is God, it proved to that prophet that God was God. You see, it proved to Elias that we all know the story here. We know that Elias, he said, "Y'all get you, we're going to get two bullocks and we're going to prepare them up." He said, "We're going to take some, lay it upon the altar and we're going to let see whose God reigns by fire." We all know that the Baal was the God of fire. And there was 450 prophets of Baal there that day. That was going to tie, not only that, this is the first time I ever even got to the point where I even saw this. Not only there was 450 prophets of Baal, there was 400 prophets of the grove. And those prophets of the grove was the people that Jezebel had set aside that she had fed, the people in her courts, inside her little castle or her little kingdom that she had set up. She had those prophets of the grove set up. But you know what? The day that Elijah called out for that and wanted that, and he called down the fire from heaven, I tell you what, the prophets of the grove didn't show up. They didn't even think it'd be a challenge. Because We know the Baal was a god of fire. They said, we won't even have to worry about old Baal. He'll answer up. You know, and he'll give the people what they need. Look down in verse number 25 here. It says, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given unto them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God, and he is either talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and he must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with the knives and lancets till blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when the midday was past, they prophesied in the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. I want you to know, not only did it prove to the people that God is God, it proved to the prophet that God is God. I want you to know that there was obstacles in the Baal's worship. There's always obstacles when you're not worshiping God the right way. You see, these people didn't worship God the right way, and that's why their God, Elijah, stood up and mocked them. He said, hey, your God must be asleep. Your God must be gone off his throne. He must be pursuing. He must be doing all these things. I want you to know that this world today would love to put up an obstacle in worship. That's why in Revelation chapter number 3 that Jesus was on the outside of the church, because the people didn't want to follow what the Bible said about worship. You see, we worship a God that must be followed, but he must be followed by spirit and in truth. And we must follow him by the word of God. You see, you can't worship God without following this Bible. You just can't do it. That's why today that God's not blessing these churches that are not following the Bible. You see, you'll never worship God till you follow the Bible. And I praise God that we're in a church that follows the Bible and biblical worship. I'm glad we're in a church that we can actually worship God in spirit and in truth. You see, most churches today have pushed him on the outside, like these prophets of Baal. 450 men. Could you imagine that? If 450 men were standing up on this stage this morning trying to call down a God that didn't exist, that'd be an ugly worship service, wouldn't it? We wouldn't know what to do. But I tell you what Elijah did. Not only was there obstacles in Baal's worship, but there was obedience in Elijah's worship. You see, Elijah, he followed what the Bible said. Look down in verse number 30. It said, and Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And look what it said he did. It said he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You see, this world will leave the altar of God broken down. And if you're not careful in your home, you know what you'll do? You'll leave the altar of God broken down. And God calls us unto obedience. Any disobedience is not obedience. The Bible said disobedience was a sin as witchcraft over in 1 Samuel chapter number 15. And if we're going to follow God, we must follow him through obedience. See, Elijah, he followed through obedience. He repaired the altar of the Lord. And it says this in verse 31. It said, took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob until the word of the Lord came saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, and as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Let me tell you what Elijah did. He went the Bible way. He did obedience the Bible way. And he was able to worship, and he was able to call down the fire from heaven because he was obedient. If we want as Brother Lager prayed this morning, if we want fire in a church, I tell you what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to be obedient. We've got to be obedient to the Word of God. I've been studying over in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse 14, a very familiar passage of Scripture. You know what Solomon did? He became obedient. And he finished the temple of the Lord there in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And the Bible said when he made an end of praying that the fire came down and consumed the burnt offering there. And then God gave him a promise. See, I've been studying that verse over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know what that was? It was a promise.
Right.
See, God hadn't shut it up yet.
Right.
You see, he shut it up here for Elijah. He was leaving those guys with a promise. And I'm going to tell you, if we find ourselves in a pestilence in our land, if we find ourselves in a famine in our land, I tell you what God does. He leaves us a promise. You know what that promise is? If my people, there's four requirements for that promise. The first one is you got to humble yourselves. And I'm going to tell you, until we have a revival here in America, we're going to have to humble ourselves. The second requirement there in that promise was we had to pray. We had to pray. And until America gets back on her knees, we'll never see revival in our land. And I tell you where that, we're looking for everybody else to pray about. I tell you where it's going to start. It's going to start with you. It's going to start with me. But see, if I don't pray, I don't expect you to. And if you don't pray, don't expect me to. But it's going to start with each one of us, and it's going to start in our homes. It's not going to start in our church house. We love for it to stay start in our church house. No doubt that when the preacher preaches and we get fired up and we go home, I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to be obedient. The Bible teaches us to pray. The third requirement there is we got to seek His face. See, when I was a little kid, we didn't have all the video games that we have today. We didn't have all the televisions, and we didn't have all this gadgets, and we didn't have all the electronics. But I tell you what we used to do. Me and the boys across the road, they had two boys, and it was me and my brother, and we used to play a game called hide and seek. And we'd stand on the front porch of their house, and that was our base. And then what we'd do is we'd let one of us be the seeker, and the other would be the hiders. But I tell you what none of us wanted to be. We never wanted to be the seeker. And I never did want to be the seeker because I couldn't outrun them. So people that was fast on foot, they could actually outrun me. You know, so I'd never want to be a seeker. I find ourselves in the church house, nobody wants to be a seeker. Are you a seeker this morning? God said that we should seek His face. See, there's requirements. If we're going to have revival, if we're going to heal our land and forgive our sins, we got to seek His face. The fourth thing here, we got to repent. The Bible said we turn from their wicked ways. See, America doesn't want repentance. They're trying to find ways into heaven without repentance, and there's not any. But see, the Bible teaches one way, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll never get to heaven without repenting of your sins. And that's a 180-degree turn, repenting from your sins. Once you've fallen your father, the devil, and you got saved, you got to repent of your sins. There's requirements for that verse over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Not only do we see the famine that was commanded, the faith that was challenged, thirdly, we'll see the fire that consumed. See, there's a fire that came down. Elijah prayed, and you'll find there in verse number 38, it says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." I'm going to tell you, when the fire of God falls, I'll tell you what it'll be. It'll be a consuming fire. You see, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 24, said the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Now, I looked up that word consume. You know what that means? It means to take everything. To take everything. You see, I noticed that God works through fire. You see, I did some studying about fire last night in the Bible, and you said there's two types of fire that I could really bring out. And throughout the Bible, and there's two types. The first one is a refiner's fire. You remember old Job? When he was tried, he said, "When I was tried, he said, I shall come forth as gold." You see, what happens with the gold process is when they go to purify gold, they begin to heat it up, and all those impurities come out. And as us as Christians, when God begins to turn the fire on us, you know what comes out of us? All those impurities. I'll tell you this, the more closer you try to walk with God, the more He's going to reveal sin in your life. I've tried to get closer to God, but every time I get close, you know what He says? You're still a sinful man. And I look back at me because there's impurities in me. The second type of fire that I see here is the judgment of God, and that's what He sent down here. It was a judgment of God that He was going to show Ahab and Jezebel and all these prophets that God is God, and He works through fire. The Bible said here that it licked up the water. Now, and God showed me this not too long ago, just here in the last hour, about this water here. Now, you think about this. We was in Elijah hadn't rained in 3 years and 6 months. At the beginning of this chapter, Obadiah and Ahab, you know what they was doing? They was going out searching to find some water holes for the cattle, for all their beasts. But Elijah, you know what he did? He knew where to go to get the water because he said, go get me some water. See, God's got stuff. He's got watering holes set aside for His children. You're in a watering hole this morning, and praise God for that we're in a watering hole. He set it aside. And Eli said, why don't you, not one time, not twice, but three times, go ahead and fill that old trench that I've got built up with water. And I tell you what happened. The fire, this man of God said, he called on God and it fell. And the Bible said it licked it up. It licked it up. There wasn't a drop left. And I began to think about that. You remember when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea? I believe that was the same term there that licked it up. When that strong east wind came and it parted that Red Sea, and it said the children of Israel walked through on dry ground. I believe it was that lick term, was that same term that is used here, that they walked through and there wasn't mud on their feet. They had dust all over shoes. When they got to the other side, they were over wiping off their shoes because God had made them to walk across that Red Sea on dry ground. A fire that consumes. And I've been studying again over in Leviticus chapter number 6, verse 13. That's over there where they had the burnt offerings. And this is what it says. And God's gave me a message out of this, and I've taught it before. It said the fire shall, in Leviticus 6 and 13, it says the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And it was that priest's job. That was his job, to take the fire that was there on the altar, that it would never go out, so they could consume sacrifices in the morning and the evening for the burnt offering. It was not only a fire that consumed, but lastly, I want to leave you this. It was a flood in a cloud. Look down in verse number 41. Here it says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to drink, eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass on the seventh time, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with the clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Let me tell you what's happened. Oh, Elijah, he's done praying, he's done consumed the burnt offerings there, and he's showed the prophets of Baal, and God has destroyed the prophets of Baal there. He's taken down that stronghold that there with Ahab and Jezebel had set up. But here, I want you to notice that there was a flood and a cloud. And that if you look, first of all, you'll see that there was a vision. You see, that man of God that had been praying and he stopped up heaven, he said, get thee up, there's a sound of abundance of rain. I believe he was the only one that could hear it. He was the only one that could hear it. And he told old Ahab, he said, let's go on up on the Mount Carmel. And the Bible said that he got down and he prayed and he put his face between his knees. And you know what old Elijah began to do? He began to pray, like it said over in James chapter 5, verse number 18, where it said, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. He began to pray that prayer that God would open back heaven. And I believe God opened it up, and he heard, and he sent his servant out, and his servant looked out there, and I'll give you a little geography lesson of where they are. They're on top of Mount Carmel. If you looked out to the left there, you'll see the Mediterranean Sea. And the old servant looked out across the Mediterranean Sea, and he saw a little cloud, and it looked like a little man's hand. He went up there six times. He didn't see nothing. And he'd go back to that man of God. He said, I didn't see nothing. I said, I don't see what you're saying here. Let me tell you this. You got a pastor here. You may not see what he's saying. Just follow him. It'll come to pass. You'll see that the guy went up the seventh time and he began to see a little man's hand out there on the sea. And he said, I can't believe it. I see a cloud. I believe for that 3 years and that 6 months, there hadn't even been a cloud to come over. You remember, oh God, how he shattered the children of Israel in the book of Exodus. It said he was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. I believe he had removed himself where there wasn't even a cloud in the land. So when the servant of the man of God had went out there and looked upon that Mediterranean Sea and he saw this little old cloud that was the size of a man's hand, he began to think, this man of God's right. He's telling the truth. And he said, but it's little in size. Do I believe him? I wonder what we would have done there if we'd have come up to that and looked out across that Mediterranean Sea and we'd have saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. That's very small compared to the clouds we see today. You know what we'd have done? And we'd say, well, I bet he went back to the man of God, old Elijah, and he said, I see a little man's cloud about the size of a man's hand, but I don't believe it's going to do much. You see, not long ago, I remember standing outside with my daddy, and it became, I mean, the heavens were black, and the wind got up, and my daddy said, "It ain't going to rain long." And we had all the signs was there. It looked like a tornado was going to come through, and the winds were blowing so hard, the clouds were just passing through. I mean, so fast, we said, "It ain't going to rain long." I wonder what this servant of the man of God thought when he saw that cloud, the little size of a man's hand. You see, that old man of God had a vision, and God had told him that, hey, it's fixing you better get ready, because it's going to come what we call in the old-timey world a gully washer. Right. And it's going to one of them that knocks all the leaves out of your gutters. Right. Amen. And we saw this. He saw that little man's, the cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, "I believe I see it." Look what he said here. It said, "And it came to pass," in verse 45, "and it came to pass in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain." I believe it was a big rain. I believe it was one that soaked him up. Not only you'll see that the man of God had a vision, he had a victory. See, he brought that rain back. See, when you go from a famine to a flood, it's going to have to be obedience. It's going to have to be sacrifice. The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is all about sacrifice. And if you're going to have the power of God and you're going to go from a famine to the flood, you're going to have to do it through sacrifice and through obedience. From a famine to a flood, you'll see that there was a famine that was commanded, a faith that was challenged, a fire that consumed, and a flood that was a little cloud. That's all I got this morning. Thank y'all for your attention. Amen.